So what are we going to get tonight? Donald Trump is going to address the nation. He teased this last Monday. 8 days ago, Donald Trump said this the day before Election Day at a rally in Ohio.
Specifically including the election of all the people that I'm going to name, I'm going to be making a very big announcement on Tuesday, November 15th, at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida. We want nothing to detract from the importance of tomorrow. You understand that, JD?
There you go. That was Trump in Ohio just over a week ago. When everyone thought the red wave was coming and President Trump thought he was going to have some success with his candidates, and then he was going to launch last Tuesday into a bid for 2024 tonight. I am shocked. Let me just start off with this. I am shocked that he is still going through with it. Now, I know, you know, Trump's thought process has always been you can't show any weakness, right? So he's got to go through with it. The assumption is that he's going to announce he's running for president. And it's going to be this outstanding speech and rah-rah, America, America first. I don't think he's going to apologize for his bad candidate selection. Something tells me that's not likely to happen tonight. I mean, you know, we're fresh off of his governor's pick in Arizona, Kerry Lake, and his U.S. Senate pick in Arizona, Blake Masters, both losing. And that's too bad. I think Kerry Lake would have made a great governor. But clearly in a state that still has a lot of John McCain Republicans, that stain just hung around and turned off many in that state because they flipped two House seats in Arizona. Arizona flipped two House seats from Democrat to Republican. But the two people that were most closely tied to Donald Trump lost their races statewide. So go figure that out in the state of Arizona. So Trump really doesn't have an incredibly strong track record to take into tonight. He just doesn't. And he thought he would. That's why a week and a half ago, he's like, I'm making a big announcement on Tuesday, November 15th. And I know that he's not one to back off of those things. But what does that do right now? I mean, remember this. There is a Senate runoff in Georgia still to come in about 3 weeks. Does it make a lot of sense for the Republican Party ahead of this Georgia runoff, which, you know, you don't need it to win the Senate because, unfortunately, the Democrats are going to hold the Senate. It's a question of, is it 51-49 or is it 50-50 with Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker? But do you want right now Trump to soak up and take up all the oxygen in the room? Does that make sense when you've got a runoff? And by the way, you look at what happened last Tuesday and look at where the success was had. The success was not had amongst Donald Trump candidates in the U.S. Senate or in governor's races or in Secretary of State races. He was 2-for-16 in toss-ups. You look at places like New York, of all places. Lee Zeldin almost won a governor's race there. And several congressional seats flipped in the state of New York. Orange County, California stayed red. DeSantis remade Florida. Texas stayed solid red. Brian Kemp won big in Georgia. All those places really had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Right? I mean, that's just analyzing it factually speaking based on what happened last Tuesday. So does it make the most sense for Donald Trump, who obviously wants to run for president? And I'm not saying that he shouldn't necessarily. I think as we sit here today, there are better options, but I'm not saying that he shouldn't. The guy, on a policy standpoint, had a great 4 years, especially pre-COVID, which he could do nothing about. But is now the time that makes the most sense? It's not. So why would he do it now? To try to clear the field. That's why. That's what this is about. To clear the field and most importantly, clear the field from one that is Ron DeSantis. But I don't think this really matters to Ron DeSantis. I don't think it should matter to Ron DeSantis. But I did find it interesting that yesterday I saw this on this was on Newsmax. Lara Trump, Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, of course, married to Eric Trump, went on TV and said this about Ron DeSantis.
And I think he's a smart enough guy to know that it would be great to have all the support of this party, of the America First MAGA movement, whatever you want to call it, fully behind him in 2028, then possibly, you know, fracturing it in 2024. I can tell you those primaries get very messy and very raw. We've experienced that before. So wouldn't it be nicer for him? And I think he knows this, to wait until 2028.
So Ron DeSantis has to wait until 2028. Is the case that was made from Laura Trump, who says, you know, these primaries can get ugly, these primaries can get nasty. I sense that there is a lot of fear in Trump world of Ron DeSantis. And I understand why. I mean, Ron DeSantis remade Florida, just won it by 20 points. And, you know, Trump's handpicked candidates mostly bombed out. So I get why that fear exists. But if we're truly looking at this from the standpoint of going into tonight, what is the best thing for the party in terms of trying to win Georgia, in terms of trying to set up properly for 2024, is this the best move for tonight? Is tonight the best move for the party from Donald Trump? It's not. Tell me why Donald Trump can't announce he could do a big New Year's Day. A big New Year's Day announcement, go up against the Rose Bowl or something like that. Couldn't you see that halftime of the Rose Bowl? Trump comes out. I'm here to announce I'm running for president. Go USC Trojans. We're going to flip California. I don't know. Something crazy like that. I could see it. Or, you know, he's probably more of a Big Ten guy. I mean, Trump loves Big Ten country, right? He swept Pennsylvania. He swept Michigan and Wisconsin back in 2016. So he's probably more of a Big Ten guy. Go Wolverines. Go Buckeyes. So I'm sure he's more of a Big Ten guy than he is a Pac-12 guy. But neither here nor there. Tell me what the difference is and why Trump can't push this thing off 6, 7, 8 weeks. It changes nothing. It changes absolutely nothing. And I think it actually helps him. It helps him because this election is in a less emotional place. More time has passed. Everybody is thinking more clear-headed than they are today. Right? So we're not as emotional on all sides of the equation. If you wait 6, 7, 8 weeks, I fail to see the benefit of tonight, of today, especially as Republicans lick their wounds because that red wave never came to fruition. That red wave never happened. It would help Trump. It would be more unifying for Trump if he took this thing to early in the new year. And it wouldn't change. It's not like DeSantis is going to announce in the next month. I don't see that happening. No one's probably going to do anything until early 2023 anyway. And he could still be the first of the game, which is what he wants. 5-7, 6-7, 7-10. I'm curious. I mean, I think we all know what's coming tonight, an announcement from Donald Trump that he's running for president. But if you want something that could be maybe a little different about tonight, something that maybe we don't see coming, I could see Trump doing something that kind of splits hairs tonight. I'll explain what that is, and I want to hear from you as well at 5-7, 6-7, 7-10. Coming up next on KCMO. Oh, man, this great on the text line. I'm asking you, you know, Trump's got the big speech tonight. What's he going to announce? I mean, obviously, everybody assumes that he's going to announce he's running for president in 2024. I've got a wrinkle of that I want to share with you, but on the text line, Pete, Trump is going to announce his acceptance of Speaker of the House when we get the last seat.
Woo!
Oh, gosh. You know, because the Speaker doesn't have to be in the House. Like, I saw people yesterday saying that Liz Cheney should be Speaker of the House. I mean, my goodness. No, that's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen. But here's what I think the wrinkle could be. The wrinkle could be this. Trump does the whole, I'm exploring a run for president. That is what I could see Trump doing. He doesn't officially launch a 2024 campaign. But his announcement is something along the lines of, I'm forming a committee, which means he can hedge on actually running or not. And that would be the way that Trump could kind of work around this whole thing and see where things go going into 2024. It would allow him to potentially back out if he is just kind of reading some of the writing on the wall and maybe says, boy, I cannot. I mean, he couldn't take another loss, never mind a primary loss. He just wouldn't be able to deal with it. So by doing the I'm launching an exploratory committee kind of thing and I'm forming a committee, he can hedge on actually running, but then he can own the news cycle as the only guy who's obviously somewhat committed to run in 2024. 5767710. I want to hear from you. Victor's in Parkville. Victor, good morning.
Good morning, Pete. You know, I do think you're on to something here. I do think he, as long as the Georgia thing's going on, he really should stay out of it. There was a lot that went on with the election. It wasn't just about Trump and him getting in the way of stuff and his candidacy. It also, I mean, the RNC is just absolutely horrible about marketing Republicans. And unfortunately, a lot of the people who are on the ballot, they're not mainstream swamp type Republicans. So they were out of the good graces, if you will, of the RNC. So they didn't get the backing of the RNC. And then evidently McConnell was floating around money. His PAC was floating around money to this person and that person and pulling from here and not supporting there. If the money would have gone appropriately distributed to the people who were actually in closer races, like what happened in Arizona, I think we had a really good shot of doing that. Back to Trump, though, you know, his big problem is he has to stop playing this childish game and everything else. He has to be presidential. If he's not presidential, he's not going to – he may win the primary, but he will not be elected as president because people are sick and tired of him being the outsider to that extent. And, you know, as far as what his daughter-in-law said about these primaries, you know, they get down and they get dirty and they get – I'm old enough to remember when they weren't that way. They were, you know, little jabs and this and that, but they were civil. Reagan was civil. I mean, a lot of these older guys were civil. The only reason it gets dirty is if you turn it dirty. And I'm sick and tired of the dirty.
And you say this, you say this, just so everyone knows, I mean, many callers are going to know your voice, but for those who don't, you are a MAGA man through and through when you're saying this.
I'm ultra MAGA.
Yeah.
I'm the new and improved, well, unfortunately not new and improved, but I'm the ultra MAGA. Absolutely, 100%. I think he has the international capability to be able to do what needs to be done on the international stage, and I think if he picks the right person to do the domestic, then, you know, like a DeSantis, I think it would be a great match. You know, I've said this before. I just don't know if there, you know, if there's going to be bad blood between them. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other candidates for vice president, but, you know, he's got the international chops, the connections. He knows what to do. He's fixed the economy before. He can do it all. I do believe he's the guy to come in and fix it again and clean up the swamp, what he didn't get done, and clean out some of the stuff. Five deep into all these bureaucratic agencies, the FBI, the CIA, all these people, clean them all out because they've all hosed him before, and he's not going to have any backlash. So I think he's the guy to do it, but he's got to get out of his own way. He's got to get the right advisors and listen to him. And for crying out loud, don't act like a child. Act like a president. That's what we want. We want a president.
There you go, Victor. Thank you very much. Ultra MAGA Victor out of Parkville, as he called himself. You know, over the summer, and I'm not trying to name drop here, but when Victor said that, it reminded me of a story and a conversation I had with Bill O'Reilly over the summer. As I was sitting on Bill's couch in his beautiful home on Long Island, overlooking the bay, or the Long Island Sound, technically, and... you know, we were talking about Trump and what's next for Trump. And I said, hey, Bill, does Trump ever like listen to you genuinely, like really listen? Like, will he take advice for you? And Bill said to me, he said, Pete, there's one guy in Donald Trump's life that he's ever listened to his whole life. Not any of his wives, not his kids. The only person in Donald Trump's life that he ever listened to was his father. Obviously, he's long gone. But that's the only person in Donald Trump's entire life that he ever genuinely listened to. So, you know, when Victor says he's got to get advisors that he listens to around him, I mean, that's just, it's not going to happen. I hate to say it. It's not going to happen. He's going to do what he's going to do. Judah in Olathe. What's up, Judah? Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. I voted for Trump twice and was a strong supporter up until the Capitol Hill riots, which he did help bring about. And so we, to be realistic, we can't just say how many people would support Trump, but you got to look at all the people that would vote against him. Last election, he lost to a ghost candidate who hid in his basement and did not campaign, Joe Biden. How in the world does anyone think, since Trump damaged his brand with the Capitol Hill riots and with taking home classified documents, how does anyone possibly believe that the middle or the libertarians in the center are going to suddenly vote for Trump next election? So basically, from this point forward, Trump can only help the Democrats. And if he wasn't so egotistical and such a narcissist, he would step aside. I'm 100% behind Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis would do everything good that Trump has done in the past with class, finesse, and a lot of wisdom. And so all these MAGA supporters, they need to just quit supporting Trump, who's an idiot from this point on, and just let things, you know, go in the right direction. Otherwise, we're going to lose the White House.
Well, you know, here's what I would add to that, Judah, from the standpoint of any kind of a primary. I mean, if these guys had a primary, that's when you could kind of hash all that out, right? That's when you could kind of figure that out and let the best idea win and let the primary voter decide what they want to do. But I think part of what Trump's trying to do here is clear the field. And frankly, I don't think it's going to work. I think DeSantis is running. And I heard that when he was here in Kansas 3 months ago, that he was going to run, from people in his inner circle. And I don't think anything that happened last Tuesday changes that. If anything, it actually helps DeSantis in the process. Eli, over in the park. Go ahead, Eli. I got a minute, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing a lot of callers talking about Mitch McConnell and the RNC and how they chose to spend money. But Trump was sitting on a pretty big war chest of funds himself. And, you know, he was criticized by Cruz and some others about his lack of financial support for his candidates. So, I mean, that really swings both ways, because from all reports, he did not spend a large percentage of his available funds to prop up his folks either.
That is true, Eli. That is true. Trump had about $100 million war chest, and he spent about $22 million of that in the midterms here. So, you know, and if you're Trump and you're like, I need to get my people into Congress to then set up my 2024 campaign, because you want theoretically as many of your people in Congress before you get back into the mix as president, you would use a lot of that money for your people. I agree. I'm not saying McConnell spent his money perfectly, but Trump did not put his money where his mouth was with his own candidates. He got a $100 million war chest. He spent about $22 million on his guys all over the country and gals all over the country. That's not enough, especially when small donors gave you that money with the idea that you would spend it better than the RNC. So round and round we go. Big announcement coming up tonight.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.